Isaiah, actually we're not in Isaiah, Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. I will read the odd verses, and if you can please read the even verses with me. I do want to say there's a couple of verses here where we're going to be pronouncing some Bible names, okay? And Pastor Myers instructed me this morning, whatever you say, just say it with confidence, and we move forward, all right? Nehemiah chapter number 8, verses 1 through 12. I will read the odd verses, and if you can please read the even verses with me. The Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Arijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, and Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, and Bani, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, and Akab, and Shabbatai, and Hodijah, and Maaseiah, and Kelita, and Azariah, and Jozabad, and Hanan, and Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Help us never to lose sight of the privilege we have as a people to have the freedom to worship you. I pray that this morning will be a very special morning for each and every one of us. I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that we would allow you to meet with us. I pray that we would be attentive to the word of God. Bless our preacher as he preaches, and may we leave different than when we came. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
To fathom the distance, looking out across the canyon carved by my hands. God is gracious, sin will still separate us, were it not for the bridge his grace has made us. His love will carry me. Bridge to cross the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost his Son his life. His love is deep, his love is wide. There there's a cross to bridge the great divide. God is faithful, on my own I'm unable. He found me hopeless, alone, and sent a Savior. He provided a path and promise to guide us safely past all the sin that would divide us. His love delivers me. There's a bridge to cross the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father to sign his life. His love is deep, his love is wide. There's a cross to bridge the great divide. The cross that cost my Lord his life has given me mine. There's a bridge to cross the great divide. The other side, the mercy of the Father caused his Son his life. His love is deep, his love is wide. There's a cross to bridge the great divide. There's a cross to bridge the great divide.
All right. Thank you. You know, there's a lot of, there have been a great many tremendous inventions over the years. You know, if you think about it, a little over 100 years ago, if you lived in the early 1900s, there were no automobiles, airplanes, telephones. That would have saved you a lot of time, by the way. No radio, no television. No travel, unless you liked horses, and on and on. We think about how technology has just jumped in the last 100 or so years. Think about the fact that in a span, I got turned down a little bit there, Eric, in a span of about 65 years, we went from no airplanes to landing on the moon, okay? Let's just think right here, right now. A little over 25 to 30 years, we've went from no personal computers in the home. I remember the first personal computer my mother-in-law gave me, it was an Atari in the early 90s. And I thought, I'm going to play with that thing. And it took me about, 3 hours. I thought, I'm going to make a banner. You know, they have this little saw. You had to take the disc out, put new disc in. It took about 2 hours to make a banner that said something and all night to print, okay? And it was that little print, like that little nonsense stuff. But think about, in 30 years, we went from that to having more power in the, what's my grandkids? More power in the palm of my hands. And don't you dare call me Dave Lucero. I already saw you grab your phone. More power in the palm of your hands than they had in the computers that took the rocket to the moon. And now we can communicate with anybody, anytime. We can access information around the world. But having said all that, to say this, I believe that the greatest invention ever was Gutenberg's invention of the printing press. One of the things that happened, the very first book that he printed was the Bible. And really, that brought to an end, or started to bring to an end, what we consider the Dark Ages. Because now, the Bible, which was banned, and I'm not trying to be critical of it this morning, but I could if I wanted, you know, the Catholic Church didn't want people to read the Bible. And fact of the matter is, they were putting people to death for even owning a Bible and translating it into. But when the Bible was starting to be printed and got out into the world, it transformed. It just transformed society in all the early revivals. We don't understand that now because what has happened, we take the Bible for granted. Many of us in here, we would say we own more than one copy, right? How many of you own more than one Bible? Okay, right? We have printed Bibles. We have Bibles on our laptops. We have Bibles on our phones. We have Bibles on our iPads. I mean, they're everywhere. We kind of take it for granted that for most of the time in this world, people could not have a personal copy of the scriptures. But why do I believe that the printing press, because of the Bible and the power that it helped to unleash in society? What we're going to look at this morning is see that that power that the Bible has is still available to us even today. As we look at these verses and we look at the story, the verses that Brother Chim read, the wall had just been completed, a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. Nehemiah had come back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Ezra, who had went there earlier than Nehemiah, had already completed the temple. And so here, as they're done building the wall, Nehemiah, in a sense, is having a little celebration service. But he wants the people in this celebration service to really focus in on one thing, the Bible. You see, they're, in a sense, they're all their physical needs were, not physical in that sense, but in their society were already being fixed. The temple had been rebuilt. The wall was very important. If they were going to flourish in Jerusalem and get their society back online, the wall was very important because that provided the protection they would need from the enemy. But Nehemiah realized that they needed a lot more than that. They needed the influence of the scriptures in their life. Fact of the matter is, what had brought them to this place in the first place? Because they ignored the scriptures. They ignored God's law. As you look back in Deuteronomy, and I believe it's chapter 28, 27, 28 through 29, in there, God had told them, listen, you're going to go into the land, and here's what's going to happen. If you bless me, if you do what I say, you'll be blessed, and this has happened, but you're going to turn from me. And this is going to happen. But you can, if you get back to the word, you can return to me, and if you do that, then this, and this will happen. And Nehemiah is trying to get them on point with the scripture. I think it's very symbolic that they met at the Watergate. Now, this morning, I'm going to tell you the truth about Watergate. Now, how many of you, we'll get the millennials in here, right? How many of you, and I'm not getting a millennial, how many of you don't know what Watergate is? When I say that, you don't know what it is. Don't. Okay, well, I guess you know your history. Richard Nixon. Breaking in during the election to get some information, having some guys break in, and it cost him the presidency. It caused the vice president, he had his own issues at that time, Spiro Agnew, he cost him the vice presidency. Just a historical thing, Gerald Ford was president, and he wasn't elected to either of those offices. That was kind of scary, and he fell down a lot. Can't remember that. But we, you know, when we think about Watergate, we think about Nixon and all the corruption. I'm going to give you the truth about Watergate right here. See, they met the Watergate. And I think that is symbolic because when we think of the Word of God, it's pictured as water. You know, spirituality and the Spirit of God is pictured as water, cleansing and refreshing and giving us that what we need to have the life and the spiritual life that God wants us to have. And all that was going on, Nehemiah, and he brought in Ezra, said, we need to have this meeting. And so they had this meeting around the Word of God. The real truth about the Watergate that they met at is that it's the power of God's Word to totally transform our lives. But if God's Word is going to transform or change or make us or keep us what we are supposed to be as a Christian, I want us to see three aspects of it here in the few minutes that I have. First of all, I want you to see the personal preparation we need for God's word. If you're in Nehemiah, hang a left and go to Ezra chapter 7. Okay, go back one book and go to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. We're going to look at that. Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. This is Ezra the scribe, and he's the one that's going to be one of the ones front and center with the scripture. But before he was front and center with the scripture was already working in his life. And I think it's good for us to see what he did and what we should do if we're going to have God's word make a difference in our life. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, he goes, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." And by the way, as a scribe, that was kind of his job. That's why he wasn't the one that was called to build the wall. It's funny how God puts different people in different places. Ezra was more of a compassionate type of guy, and so he was a spiritual one. Not that Nehemiah wasn't spiritual, but he was a spiritual one to rebuild the temple. And when the people sinned, Ezra ripped his own clothes and pulled out his own hair in mourning. Now, that's not Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a builder. He built the wall. And I'm going to tell you up front, I like Nehemiah's way better. When the people sinned in Nehemiah's day, he ripped their hair and he pulled out their hair and he ripped their clothes. You with me? I'm a Nehemiah guy. Okay? Figure, you're the one that's sinning. You're the one that ought to be beat down, not me. But anyhow, but there are different people. And so here he is, and God's preparing Ezra to give the word. And there's three ways that he prepared himself, and I think they're good for us. First of all, it says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. See, God's word will have no effect on us if we're not seeking to know his word, if it's not something we want to be a part of our life. Nehemiah didn't just have the scripture because he had this position or whatever. He wanted to know what God's word said. He wanted to be a part of his life. And so he was active in knowing what God's word said. You look throughout the Bible, you see that word seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, it tells us in Isaiah. And in Matthew, Jesus tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, The impetus is on us to be the one to go to God's word. God doesn't force himself on us. Right. Now, God tries to get us to serve him, but if we're going to, we have to want to do it on our end. Amen. And so we got to seek his word. And I hope that that's the desire of your life, that I want to really know God's word. But that's just the beginning of it. It says that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. That means submit to it. Sometimes we think the Bible is just good to write out a bunch of outlines and to learn a bunch of facts and to know a bunch of things, you know. If they had a Jeopardy for Bible, I would know all the words and I would win, you know, and all that. That there's a purpose for seeking God's word. And the purpose of seeking God's word is so we can willingly submit to what it's telling us to do. See, knowledge is for a reason. That's why the Bible says in, I think, Corinthians, knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Not just knowing facts to know facts, but we want to know what God's word says, because an understanding of what God's word says will help us to be able to submit to it and to do it. You see, God's blessing doesn't come to us because we know God's word. It comes to us because we obey God's word. Now, if we don't know it, we can't obey it. But God doesn't just want, you know, I'm a good Christian because I carry a Bible. Well, that's nice. By the way, that doesn't bother Satan at all. Yep. Satan is fine with you carrying a Bible. He just doesn't want you to do what it says. That's why Satanism is nothing more than you doing what you want to do, you deciding what's right and wrong. And then it says, and to teach in Israel statutes. That's sharing it. We can't share it if we don't know it. What happens to a Christian is they grow in their life and God's word becomes a part of who they are, and they're in it every day and they're learning it and they're trying to do what it says. They can't help but share it with other people. Amen. And so that is how Ezra prepared himself. So we see the personal preparation of God's word. Secondly, I want you to notice the practical preaching of God's word. That's what this meeting was about. They were there, and they were going to hear from the men and Ezra what God's word says. By the way, some people don't like to, they you know, all I need is Jesus in the Bible. And you do need Jesus in the Bible. But you can't get around it. The Bible talks about being at church. The Bible talks about learning at church. It talks about the preaching of the word of God. And we learn truth as it's all this works together. And it's very important. The key section of this, the key word in the section that Brother Jim read for us is the word understand. Helps you to understand. Now there's a, how did he help them in the preaching of God's word? There's a couple aspects of it. First of all, he read it. Look at verse 3 again. You can go back to Nehemiah. We'll finish up in Nehemiah here, but I want you to see what was going on. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. By the way, when I was on vacation, I was in some churches. I think they believe that. Okay? I mean, from early morning until the middle of the day, that was a long church service. Never complain about our church services, all right? I don't believe, look, I'm not going to be up here for 3 hours. It's not happening. To be effective, you don't have to be everlasting or eternal, all right? But they were there all that time before the men and women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. By the way, I like that he says, who was there at the meeting with them? It was the men and women and those that could understand. I know there's this little thing going through, you know, like, well, you know, don't have children's church and don't have children's Sunday school classes. Why? If you don't want your kids to go to those things, that's fine. That doesn't bother me at all. But you know, they're gonna hear and understand a little bit better in those places. They didn't have the children there, if I read this correctly. They had those that we could understand. And so that's just something you can get on the internet and throw out there and it makes you sound intelligent. But I want you to see, the reading was important. That's why we've instituted within the last few months, you know, we're going to read the scriptures publicly and we'll stand when we read them. Now, I always used to read it and stand, but I kind of like that. I think that's good for us. Yeah. They did it in the Bible, okay? You know, somebody has said that a lot of times in messages, the scripture ends up being like the national anthem at a football, I won't say football because they're ridiculous, at a baseball game. You know, it sounds good, but it has nothing to do with what's coming on once the song is over. Well, the scripture has everything to do with what we're doing in here. And so they read it. It's very, very important. Not only do you're supposed to read it yourself, we're supposed to read it in church. That's why, let me say this, and if you don't, I'm not getting on you, maybe newer, but let's bring our Bibles to church, okay? And when we're reading the scriptures and we're going there, there's just something, and it's in the scripture. We can't fight that. Well, you know, I'll just come, and I know there's so many new trends in Christianity that make me nauseous. But one of them now, they got this little thing where the guys stand up here, and there's a little television screen, and it's like his little thoughts are showing up there, and it's like he's talking to the television. Okay, you talk to the television. Turn it up, it'll talk back. You know? Or you know, they guy stands up here, and there's a little thing with the scripture over there. No, the scripture's front and center. If we're not using scripture, mark it down. I'm just going to tell you what I think. And I don't think there's a lot of blessing in that. We got to get to the scriptures here. And I encourage you to get yourself a Bible and just bring it and look at it. And sometimes you see a verse and it speaks to your heart and jot that down. Reading is important. But I also want to notice before we move on from reading, the respect they had for God's word. Look at verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, that's just something we do, and I've been in churches where they don't make you stand when you read the scripture, and I'm not saying you're bad if you don't do that, but the point I want you to see here is they stood because of their respect for the word of God. Okay, the Bible is a big deal. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifted up their hands, and they bowed their head and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You understand? The scripture was read and they all got up. And then when he prayed, they all got on the ground. And I'm not saying we need to get on the ground when we pray. But I'm saying that shows a level of respect for what was going on. Amen. I think that we need to understand that church demands a certain level of respect. This is not a baseball game. Okay, you go to the base, you know, take me out to the ball. We sing it, take me out to the ball. I can't sing, so I'm not going to kill you there. And not, I'm just saying, I think what we've done, we've dumbed down church a little bit. We've dumbed it down a little bit. But let's understand in our minds and in our hearts, when we're dealing with the Word of God and when we're dealing with church, that we have some respect for what's going on, because it all goes around the Scripture. So they read the Word of God. And then next, they explained it. Look at verse 8, please. Verse 8. And so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. Not when he was pronouncing the names. Those names, I've heard Bible names pronounced 12 different ways. What's the right way? I really don't know. Read it phonetically. Let's stay as close as we can. And like I told Brother Jim, be confident about it. But what it came to was they were looking at what God was saying. They were very distinct about it and gave the sense. Okay? You can just see, not only in the people was this serious stuff, but also to Ezra and those up there that were given the word, it was serious stuff to them too. They explained it. Do you know that's kind of what we do here when you're in your Sunday school class. And when we're behind this thing, we're supposed to tell you what the Bible says. Explain it to you. I get a little nauseous of these. Again, I'm not trying to get on New Christianity, but it is kind of nauseating. You know, the newest thing that's out there is just thrown into the church and repackaged. By the way, let me just say, if we're really understanding what the Bible says, most of what's being told from out there is going to be opposed or different than what the Bible says. But we're afraid to explain it because someone might get upset. The goal is not for people to get upset. The goal is to understand what exactly does God say, and if it goes against what's being said out there, then we need to stick with what's being said in here. Amen. Explained. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we? Didn't we come to church to try to figure out what God was saying? Now, we come for many other reasons, and they're scriptural reasons, and they're not bad. We come for our friends. We come for fellowship. And by the way, those are all biblical principles. There is nothing wrong with that. But I hope we're coming here to hear something that resembles what God says is true. And sometimes that's encouraging, right? Man, you hear something that's like, hey, man, I'm encouraged. Bible call it edification or whatever. But let me just say, sometimes it can be a bit discouraging. Not in a bad way, because it's kind of like, I needed that. Do you know that's okay too? That's okay too. If you only want to be here and just, you know, like me throw flowers every week, I don't like flowers. They're expensive and they die. Now, you ladies, you like flowers, and we buy them for you, and they're dead in a week. So appreciate us when we do that, because we don't get that, all right? But listen, sometimes it's throwing flowers, other times it's not throwing rocks, it's throwing cactuses, right? Someone said that preachers ought to be like porcupines, and people get the point. But we need to know the truth. By the way, let me just say this. If I say something sometimes that's a little bit, you know, that's a little bit rough. Do you know I'm duty bound by the scripture to be honest. Okay? I'm kind of a non-confrontational guy. Now I've gotten better at that, trust me. But I let's just all hug each other and move on with life. But I understand that sometimes it's like, I need the truth. You know, explain it. And then it goes on, then he applies it. Look at, and gave the sense, let's continue the verse 8, and caused them to understand the meaning. Okay? In other words, it's like, this is what it's saying. Get the point. You got to cause them. I've heard I came today, but you were preaching at me. That's where the speakers are pointed. By the way, I have 1, 2, 3 pointed at me. Now, I'm trying to back up so they'll get to Brother Chim and Brother Pichardo. Okay? Of course I'm preaching. You're here. I'm preaching to me. Preaching to all of us. We all need it. There's not one person that doesn't need what the Bible says. We all have to get in on it. But we have to find out. Well, that was a little bit too pointed. Well, sometimes it needs to be pointed. Then lastly, I want you to see the passionate performance of God's word. Now let me say this. You and I are responsible for what we hear and even what we read from God's word. With understanding comes responsibility. What are we going to do about it? Now, I don't think you're bad people, but sometimes we hear something, it's like, you know what? I need to kind of work on that in my life. Or maybe you're new, like I, when I walked in, I heard stuff, I'm like, whoa, are you serious? That's in the Bible? Because that was not what I was living. And I'm like, I got to do something about that. And I worked on it. We have to, what are some of the performances that come in? Well, there needs to be some conviction. Look at verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tereshva, I didn't pronounce that with confidence, did I? And Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, typically, when I preach, no one weeps. Now, if I were to sing, you definitely would. Okay, you wouldn't weep. You'd probably need medical aid. By the way, if I ever decide to do that, Robert's going to be my second. Right? We'll take them all down at once, Rob. But they, why were they weeping? Because they got it. They thought back. This is why we're in this position. That's what God told our nation to do, and we didn't do that. And then they thought probably a little more personally, and you know what? We're not doing that. And if they really thought it through, they thought, even if we're back in the land now, the temple's rebuilt, the wall's rebuilt, but if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, it's just going to happen all over again. And we call that conviction. See, sometimes if we read something from the scripture, or we hear something from the scripture, and it goes against what we're doing, and by the way, that's going to happen to all of us, and we start to understand that, that's the Spirit of God speaking to us, and that's called conviction. That is the first step to change. That's when you know you understand it. Because you're understanding not just what it says, but how it's going in my life, and what do I need to do about it? Conviction. Now, I remember very early on as a backslidden Christian, I walked into church, and this is before I started going. I just went one time with my brother to kind of, you know, keep him off my back. And Brother Black was on it that day. And I mean, he was really on it. And then after he got on it, he's like, the Lord's coming back soon. And I was sitting there, man, and I was like literally starting to sweat. And I'm like, finish the message, I want out of here. Because I got what he said, and I know what he said, and I know who he was, and I'm like, I want out of here. As soon as he was done, it's like, I'm going outside, get some air. It's like, was the message good? It was too good. Okay, didn't shake his hand. Now, later on when I went back, and I started hearing that, I had a different change of mind. And when I heard those things, and I'm like, ugh, that's not what I'm doing. And I'm thinking, but that's what God wants me to do, and that's why I'm here. And it was different, but I'm like, I'm going to get that taken care of. So don't feel bad if you get what he's saying. That's good. But there was conviction. Remember, God sends conviction not to condemn us, but to change us. But change doesn't come unless we're convicted with the fact that what we're doing needs to change. We have to be convinced of that. And if we never get convinced of it, we won't move forward. And don't fight it. People don't like to hear that. 2 Timothy talks about some of those. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. But after their own lust, desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I'll put myself under somebody that only says what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. Then there's comfort. I said, wait a minute, they're crying, there's comfort. Verse 10. Then he said unto them, go this day, eat the fat and drink the sweet. That was going to be lunchtime after the service was over. Just kidding. And send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. He goes, all right, you're going to go out here now. And there was a feast, there was one of their feasts coming up. They were in the time when the feast was coming, so they were also preparing them for that. But he's telling them, you can go do that, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what he was saying? He knew that they got it because they were crying. He knew because of their response to what he said, although they were sad, that they wanted to do the right thing. He says, now we're going to go have the feast. Go do the right thing. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, if you do what God says, if you get out here, take that feeling and change what you're doing, joy will come.
Amen.
Joy comes when we listen to what God says, not ignore it. The Bible does say, if God is convicting us about something and we ignore it enough, we can sear our conscience to the point where we're not listening anymore. So let's always be open, but the comfort and the joy comes when we do what God says, not just know what he says. And then lastly, in the preach, in their thing, there was a connection. The connection was there because they understood. Verse 12, and we're done. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send some portions, they were given to those that didn't have food and weren't ready, and to make great mirth. Now the party was coming. We've heard the word. We know what we need to do, and we're going to do it. We're going to go do the, and so now we're going to have joy.
Amen.
Why? Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They got it. The Bible's not some mythical little book that we just, it's not little, not some mythical book we just hold and it holds this miraculous power outside of ourselves. No, we have to understand it.
Amen.
There's got to be connection with it. Don't be satisfied with just, look, too many people, I'm not getting on you if this is you, I'm not. But too many people are content in Christianity, just their whole Christianity is one thing, Sunday morning church. They never read the Bible for themselves. They don't really have that desire to know what God's saying. They won't come to other services. And we kind of just like, I'm getting just enough to make me feel better. Listen, God wants you to know all of it.
Yep.
That is a lifelong, everyday pursuit.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Remember, the joy came when they did what it said, not just when they knew what it said.
Amen.
Now, what is the truth about Watergate? That's where they met because they wanted God's word. They knew that's what they needed if they were going to go forward. They were back from captivity. The walls rebuilt. The temple's rebuilt. They're ready to restart the rebuilding when it comes personally of Jerusalem. But he's like, if you don't get the word of God, we're just going to be right back here again.
Yep.
That's what they needed. Now, what about you? How committed are you to what God has to say? Is we like Christianity because it's, I like Christianity because I like this type of music, I like this type of thing, and I like this. Okay, but what about the main core thing, the Word of God? Let's make that a part of our life. Let's find out what God says and just simply put it into action. Let's stand this morning.